Welcome to the podcast of Faith Tabernacle, a place to meet God and connect with others. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information on faith, visit us at faithtabernacle.com.
This statement has been over and over in my mind since last Sunday, and I've been repeating it every single day since last Sunday, and it's simply this: I love Jesus more than anything. I love him. You know, all this week I was just thinking, maybe God, that's the only thing you've been really speaking to my heart, and maybe that's my whole message. Maybe people would just run to an altar because of that very statement. There's nothing greater than him in my life. Nothing. I serve him not for what he can do for me. And let me just say, he's done more than I can ever measure. All of us. I simply serve him because I love him very much. My spiritual disciplines are more out of love than out of obedience. And I want to explain that to you. I love, therefore I obey every word in his commandment. This is what kingdom life should look like. If you're just a rule follower, and let that sit there for a moment. If you're just a rule follower and not in love with the ruler, you'll eventually drift away with the cares of this life. I'm saying this with as much love as I can this morning, because I'm responsible for every one of your souls today, but I'm afraid that more and more people have fallen out of love with the ruler. They're not in love with him anymore. It's just an obligation. It's just a duty. Most of you know I've grown up in Miami, Florida, and I understand about what drifting away means, and drifting, specifically drifting in water. I remember many times swimming out in the ocean and within minutes looking back to the shore and seeing that I have moved away from the location I started in. I wasn't swimming away, I was drifting away. I wasn't on purpose swimming away from where I should have been. Just somehow, some way, I was distracted in my swimming, and before I knew it, I was drifting and drifting and drifting away. I knew this not because I was looking just at the shore, because all the shore looked pretty much the same along the beachfront in Miami, Florida. I knew that I moved because I had my eyes fixed on where my family was. They were my marker. When I looked back and I saw that I was now many, many, many feet in the matter of moments away. That was my marker. If I wasn't paying attention to where I was at, to where I was drifting, I could have easily have kept drifting further and further and further away from safety. My family was my safety. My family, in the physical sense, was that place as a little kid, although I was a very good swimmer, started swimming before the age of 2, and that's just how it was growing up in Miami, Florida. So I know how to swim, and I know how to swim very well. That's just how I grew up. So I wasn't scared of water, and I wasn't scared of what water would bring, but it was important for me to understand that there was a place and a point in the ocean that I needed to be aware of, that I needed to have my senses on to understand, hey, swim back to where you need to go. And if it's too hard to swim back on the currents, get out of the water and walk back to where you know safety is. If I kept telling myself, I can do this, I'm a good swimmer, aka I know it all, don't tell me what to do, eventually I'd be in the Keys. And then eventually, only 90 miles from the Keys, I'd be in Cuba. The definition of a drift is a driving force of pressure. The ocean's movement due to winds and currents, or a broad and shallow current that moves forward 10 to 15 miles per day. An example of or drift is a strong ocean current making it dangerous to swim. Spiritually, we are battling a driving force and a driving pressure that is pushing us further away from God in this kingdom life, and we don't even know it. We're enjoying the swim. We're enjoying the water. We're on our back and doing the backstroke and spitting some water up out of our mouth, just enjoying it as much as we can. But we're enjoying the swim in this world way too much. And we have taken our eyes off of where we should be. And we're not getting honest with ourselves and saying, hey, I'm getting too far away from the place of safety. And we're not getting honest enough with ourselves. You know what? I can't swim against these currents anymore. I got to get out and I got to get back. And if you do not want to drift in water, then you have to anchor yourself. And if you don't want to drift away from God and the things of God, then you have to anchor yourself in Christ. Only in Christ. He's our only anchor. He's our only stability. He's our safety. He's our place. Why do we need to be anchored in Him? Because the day and the hour that we're living in is dark. It's getting darker. And it's getting darker. and it's getting darker. If you're a parent of a child or a grandparent of a child that you are raising, I pray that you do not miss April 27th, Tuesday night. We sent an email out to all our parents. If you didn't get that for some reason, you're not on our list as a parent. But if you're a parent or a grandparent raising, I know we have a lot of grandparents raising grandkids. God bless you. This world, the school system, is teaching against the principles of the Word of God. If you want help, don't miss Tuesday night. And if you want help, stay in the church. Because the hour is dark. And it's getting darker and darker and darker. Romans 13, Paul said to the church of Rome, verses 11 through 14, and that knowing the time. You got to know what time it is. Spiritually, you got to know what time it is. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. I'm trying to shake a church today, amen, that I believe today. That have fallen asleep. I'm preaching to a good church, good people. That really love God. But I'm afraid that some might not know the time. You have lost track of time somewhere, somehow, especially in these past 12 months. And you have fallen asleep spiritually. Paul said to the church, to Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name, people, awake. Wake up! The hour's at hand. It is dark, and you are spiritually asleep, for your salvation, Paul said, is nearer than we ever believed. He said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness. He's talking to the church. He's talking to those that have been filled with the Spirit of God. He is talking to those that have taken on the name of Jesus Christ through baptism. He said, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness. Too many are drunk on this world. Too many are drunk and caught up, amen, about the things and the current events of this life and politics. Enough. Enough. Enough with the division, especially within the church, of if you're left or you're right or in the middle, if you believe this or you believe that. Folks, the only thing that's important is that you believe in God and you believe, amen, that He's the anchor for your soul. Everything else you believe and everything else you think, amen, if it's going to offend your brother or if it's going to offend your sister, keep it to yourself. People are drunk on rioting and drunkenness and wantonness. Wanting everything in this life and wanting everything in this world and not happy with God when you don't get your want and don't get the things of this life. And me, myself, and I. You have strife and you're envying people that have more than you. Paul said, you got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to the church. Put on Christ. In other words, somewhere Paul knew the church of Rome has taken him off. He said, put on Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul said, too many people are trying to fulfill the flesh and the lust of the flesh. Too many people are lusting after the things of this life, lusting after the things of this world. We are so caught up, amen, with life, and so caught up with things, and so caught up with work, and so caught up with everything but God. Cast off that. I long for the day that there's so much hunger back in this church that you can't keep people away, amen, from an altar. You can't keep people away, amen, from this place. You can't keep people away from the things of God and wanting more than Him, more than anything else. Jesus Christ is our anchor to keep us so we don't drift away from Him and the things from Him. We have to be anchored in Christ. All of us, including me, we have to be anchored in Christ. I'll just keep referencing back. These past 12 months have been hell. And every single one of us, it's been a different hell. I understand that. I know personally, 12 months ago, amen, I was just recovering from a surgery that wasn't really good. I didn't even realize how life-threatening that it probably was, that I might not even be here. But I just remember going through that and coming home. And right now, 12 months ago, I'm laying on a couch. I can't even walk up the stairs and has had a different 12 months, but all of us have been through something that's been a fight, not just physically. That is what the enemy would like to put in front of us. Oh, this was just a physical fight. That is what the smoke screen was, folks. That was the smoke screen with the enemy, that this was just a physical fight. I'm not denying COVID. I understand, amen, that it was real. And I'm ready to walk past this whole post-COVID thing and get where we need to be. Anybody excited about that? To be on the other side of it? Amen, I am. I'm not denying that, but I'm just telling you that there's been a smoke screen that the enemy has put, amen, and he has been stealing, and he's been killing, and he's been destroying the church. Hebrews 6:16-20, Living Bible. When a man takes an oath, he is calling upon someone greater than himself to force him to do what he has promised or punished him later if he refuses to do it. The oath ends all argument about it. God also bound himself with an oath so that he promised to help would be perfectly sure and never need to wonder whether he might change his plans. I want you to look at that. He's bound himself with an oath so that those he promised to help would be perfectly sure and never need to wonder whether he might change his plans. He doesn't change. Somebody shout an anchor. You want an anchor that's going to be strong. You want an anchor, amen, you know that's not going to change and be wishy-washy depending on the season and the times and the culture. You know what needs to be canceled is canceled culture. Jesus Christ is our anchor. He has given us both, the Bible says, his promise and his oath, two things that we can completely count on, for it is impossible. Somebody say impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. That's an anchor. Everything that we read in this word is an anchor. Now all those who flee to him to save them can take new courage when they hear such assurances from God. Now they can know without a doubt that he will give them salvation that he has promised them. That's an anchor. That's an anchor that we know that God's going to give us the salvation. If you're here today and you have never received a forgiveness of sins through repentance or been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins or filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, it's a promise, amen, that you can take to the bank today, amen. He does not lie. Now listen to verse 19. This certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy what? Shout it. Anchor for what? Our souls. That's what matters. Our souls. Not anchored in material things. You're not anchored by a home, a car, or anything else. That's not your anchor. A trustworthy anchor for our souls, connecting us with God himself. Behind the sacred curtains of heaven, where Christ has gone ahead to plead for us from a position as a high priest with the honor and rank of Melchizedek. Christ went before us. He's our high priest. When he died on that cross, like we talked about a few weeks ago, that veil was rent. It was torn, that now we have access right to God, our anchor. I want to quickly read Ephesians, going to chapter 4, verses 11, starting with verse number 11. This is Paul also talking to the church. He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now listen to 14. What's the purpose of that? Why has he done that? Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. I wish we would stop believing in man more than we believe in God. I wish we would stop putting our faith more in man than we do with God. David Guzik said the ancient Greek word for tossed to and fro is from the same word used to describe the stormy sea of Galilee in Luke 8:24, the raging water. He said, we can wrongly value movement over growth. Mere movement is being tossed to and fro, but God wants us to grow up in things. Just because you are going through the motions doesn't mean you are growing. If God is just a checklist for you, you are most likely going through the motions. And let me take that just a step farther. If God is just a checklist to you, you are most likely drifting. I prayed. Check. I read my word this morning. I went to church on Sunday morning. Check. I give my tithes and I give my offerings. Check. Are those all good things? Yes. But they cannot be a checklist. Let me talk to Kent Elliott this morning. I want God to know today again. I want to say this statement. I love him more than anything else in this world. And I'm going to worship him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to give him everything that I can. Amen. I'm going to do it. And as this world gets darker and darker, and as this world tries to stop and stop the church and stop the worship and stop us doing whatever the liberties that we have, amen, to worship him, I'm going to love him more. Somebody this morning needs to tie into the anchor. You need to tie into the anchor. Verse 16 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body's healthy and growing and full of love. He said, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. For they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. That isn't what you learned about Christ, he said. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new creature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, or anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who would hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing you that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. This is our anchor. This is our anchor. This is our anchor. I want you to stand with me. Pastor, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I'm worried about you. No, Pastor, don't worry about me. I might look like I've drifted a little bit, but I'm okay. I can still see Jesus. I can see him there. I know where he's at. we have put on too much of this life. We have tied ourselves to the mission of this world. We are so wrapped up in the life and the mission of this world. We have drifted away from the things of God. We are so wrapped up with current events. That we've drifted away from the purpose why God saved us. We've taken sides. We've chosen sides. Therefore, we can't love our neighbor as ourselves. We can't pray for those that persecute us. We can't love our enemies. That's been all thrown to the side. That's not my anchor. That doesn't mean that we don't pray. That doesn't mean that we don't ask God. That doesn't mean we don't intervene for things that are going on. Don't misread or misinterpret what I am saying. What I'm saying is that we're more in love with current things going on than we are with Jesus. You pulled your anchor up. My prayer today simply this. That you would make everything in this life secondary to Jesus. Everything. God, say it one more time. I love you more than anything. I long for you. I know I have stirred up this morning in the Spirit today. I pray that people will hear your word today. That if anything has come before you, that they'll find an altar today. That they'll find a place to pray. God, would you forgive us? Would you forgive me for anything, God, I've done to put you in second place? I love you, Jesus.